This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left in a tight formation. Brady swings the pass right with Green on the run to the 25-20. Green in a foot race. He's on his way to the end zone. He has a Patriots touchdown.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in the Big Apple to take on Rex Ryan and the New York Jets.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. And he runs it past the five. He drives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Good morning and welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social as we get ready for game number 15 for the Patriots today in week number 16 against the New York Jets. Two regular season games to go for the Patriots to wrap up this regular season before they move on to the playoffs. And today they're on the road against the New York Jets. The
last
New York Jets, who have three
road
wins.
Road trip until Glendale.
That's a good way of looking at it.
I said it.
It's
Can't
okay.
take it back. It's out there.
It's okay.
10:45.
He didn't really say anything.
10:45. Last road trip until Glendale.
Yeah.
They will not be going on the road again.
And it will be the last true road game.
It's actually 10:47.
Last true road game, because that's a neutral site game.
Correct.
Right? Last time.
They shan't be the
not
road
really.
Team again.
What do you mean, not really?
What?
Well, if they played the Cardinals in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Cardinals are not getting
it. I'm just saying, if they played the Cardinals in the Super Bowl, it would be not a neutral site. It's their home field.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cardinals aren't getting there, so you don't have to worry about that.
Well, you're right. Ryan Lindley not leading the Cardinals.
You don't have to worry about anything.
I know we're all Patriots today, but there's a couple potential bloodbaths today in the National Football League. I would put that as one of them. Poor Ryan Lindley against the Seahawks, and poor Jimmy Clausen, although he's a cocky punk, so I don't know if he's really poor. Could get killed by the Lions today. Those are two potential bloodbaths with
Jimmy
embarrassing
Clausen,
quarterbacks.
Jimmy Clausen, cocky punk? I didn't know that.
Yeah, no.
I'm serious.
I didn't know that either. How did you know
you
that?
You remember when he arrived at his Notre Dame, like first Notre Dame thing, getting out of a limo?
Ah, but that's a college. That's as a college.
I do remember some
oh,
stuff.
Oh, so
like
he's
that.
Different now. You're right. Well, I'm sure he's not the same.
Well, you don't think he's humbled by being a career backup?
No, I don't. I think he's probably still a dink.
So as an you're going to hold something he did as an 18-year-old kid
yep.
at Notre Dame
yep.
to
yep.
what he is now?
Yep.
You don't know Andy at all, do you?
Never mind. We're talking Andy. What about this game today? Is there a chance this is a bloodbath? Because I actually don't think it will be.
Well, we should lead off with the news of the night. Three downgrades for the Patriots on Saturday night as they arrive in the Meadowlands or wherever the hell they're staying these days. Obviously, first and foremost, the concussion, keeping Julian Edelman out of the lineup for the first time in basically nearly 2 years. He made it through last year, all 16 games, and made it through the first 14 of this year. So Julian Edelman won't be out there. LeGarrette Blount will not be out there. Shoulder injury. And Kyle Arrington will miss his first game in 5 years.
I think it's like 83 games or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are two starters potentially, or one starter and two core players when you include Blount and Arrington in all the rotations. So, you know, if you were looking for a reason to be scared about this game,
that's
I think
not
you have a little bit more of a reason.
That's not one of them. But
you're losing three starters.
I do agree that they're three, you know, significant players. I just don't think they're on the significant end of, you know, game-altering. They're not game-altering.
Somebody
players.
Asked me on Twitter. I actually said I think this could improve the Patriots' chances because these are the types of things that, you know, Brady will come to the podium afterwards after the 52-3 win and say, you know, we're missing a lot of key guys today. We felt like we really needed to amp it up a little bit. I think he, Gronk, all these other guys will dial in even more. And Paul gets his Danny Amendola wish.
I am kind of curious to see how that goes today.
Well, he's going to be put in a position where this is kind of why he's here, right?
Yeah. He will catch more. Like, somebody said
he's going to be in the
catch?
Role that they wanted him to play.
He'll have at least five or six catches today. Yeah. I don't know what he'll do with them, but he'll have five or six catches.
I'm guessing that he's at least a part of the equation on offense. I don't know if he's going to be Edelman and catch, say, 8 for 85 yards like Edelman probably would, but I think he'll be part of the equation today.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there with Danny Amendola, because I've been on the record many times on this program. I'm not a huge fan.
I wonder if the Patriots
actually, no
are
no fan
forward.
At all.
Any way you could parlay this into a trade?
Say he has a big day today. 8 catches for 160 and 2 touchdowns.
Telling everybody that he can play.
You know, we just had somebody we like better, but we got a talent here. Anybody who's interested.
Well, just out of curiosity, if he went 8 for 160 and a pair of touchdowns, would you would you want to keep him and replace Edelman? I got to go.
No, I don't think Brady would. I think Brady would want to keep Edelman.
And on that note, Paul departs the room. Are the Jets better than their 3-win record? Are they better than that?
No. Probably not.
What about their defense?
Their defense is probably better than that, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like their defense
but
is. Their offense.
This is a quarterback-driven league, and they have a blind man running the offense.
Between Geno, who has just been terrible, and then Michael Vick, when he's been in the games, that guy is just mailing it in, and that's why you get Geno back
in. I mean, you have two
there.
Quarterbacks. Your starters are both under 70 rating. 69 and 68, I think they are, for their two ratings. You know, the funny thing is, we make fun of the Jets. They ran the ball right down your throat. Geno played a perfectly clean game, and that's why you were in a dogfight here at Gillette Stadium in Week 7, because they didn't necessarily play like the Jets. They scored a season high in points, because that's another problem with when you have a bad quarterback, you don't score a lot of points in a league where you usually need to score 25 points is a good game. Well, they reached that once, and it was against the Patriots. Other than that, they are the 31st team in scoring. And the little elephant in the room with their defense is their back end sucks. That's not the elephant, but they're 31st in third down defense. Hard to be good as a defense overall if you're just letting people stay on the field. A big part of that is obviously the secondary. They came into this year, and that's part of the reason why Idzik's going to get fired, because he bungled the lack of depth in the secondary, lack of cornerback play in the secondary, because this front is good. I mean, this front is still a top 5 to 10 front in the National Football League.
218 yards on the ground for New York in that game. Is there a chance they could repeat that? I really don't think there is.
No chance. The Patriots' run defense is far better than it was that day. Remember, you have Alan Branch, wasn't here. You have Silver Salenga back. I think you have Vince Wilfork playing at a higher level. And, oh, by the way, that was the first game without Gerard Mayo. So there was a little
adjustment.
That was the transition phase there. I don't see any way. And if my memory serves me right, the Patriots, that was sort of the start of the run of sub-defenses where they were playing with extra DBs on the field, and I didn't really understand it that night because you knew the Jets were going to try to run. And so I think they also got a little out-coached, as we like to throw around in that game. I don't see any way. That's all the Jets do. You know, this isn't – remember, what was it, Tennessee a couple weeks ago? The Jets didn't – they went 24 plays, I think it was, with one pass. They just said, we're going to run because we don't have a quarterback. And they almost did it. They ran for 277 or some ridiculous number. That's not going to happen against Bill Belichick's Patriots. They're not going to allow it.
Not at this point in the season either.
No.
I think this is going to be a different game
than
what we saw the first time around.
I mean, think the front seven is now arguably, without Mayo, as strong as it's been all year with Branch and Salenga and Jones, and you get Jones back and Ninkovich, and obviously Collins and Hightower are playing at a higher level. You think Chris Ivey and Chris Johnson are just going to run the ball down their throats? No way.
No. With that said, the Jets, even though they have not been good against the Patriots in win-loss recent years, they've kept these games close. They've found ways to keep these games close.
Some games. The second game in the series has been the bad game. 4 of the last 5 have been exceptional, big scores. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if this fell into that category.
Into that 45-3 category?
Yes.
Could be going there.
I think this is a blowout. You know, we've talked about it all week. We don't have to get into the scores necessarily. We save that mail for later. But I don't see that. You know, Calvin Pryor is taking some heat down there. Their first pick at safety. You know, he's a physical guy that's had to cover more than I think they want him to. Oh, by the way, you're gonna have to cover today because Rob Gronkowski is gonna be on the field.
Oh yeah, that guy.
So, you know, we'll save the keys to the game, but there are a few ways I think the Jets could ruin this game. I just don't see them happening. I see the Patriots coming out, and the atmosphere is part of it, too. Everybody's rooting against the Jets. Jets fans are rooting against the Jets because they want a higher pick. They want Idzik out. They want to stick it to Woody Johnson. Patriots fans are rooting against the Jets because, you know, they're Patriots
fans.
They're
the Jets.
So I think this is a game where you could see the Patriots, again, scoring early hasn't been a strength. Right? The only reason they got a touchdown last week is because there was a blocked field goal return. They haven't had a touchdown in, what, a month in the first quarter? I think this is where they get off that schneid and they score early.
It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We want your involvement. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. webradio@patriots.com, the email address. If you're on Twitter this morning, make sure you are using the hashtag PPGS on Twitter, PPGS. We are the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We're going to get to your calls. We're going to get to your emails as we get ready for the 1 o'clock kickoff between the Patriots and the Jets today at MetLife Stadium. Paul Perillo will rejoin us in just a couple of moments when we get to the keys to the game. But in the meantime, let's head on out to the phones and talk to Jeff in Vegas. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's going on?
Tremendous. Happy holidays.
Yes, to you guys as well. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and all the rest.
Kwanzaa,
and all the rest.
Yes, to all the rest. Whatever you celebrate, enjoy celebrating it.
Yeah, and I'm actually at the Cromwell right now, home of the Rays. Have not gone to sleep. Just too excited about the game a few hours from now. Some good nightlife here the weekend before Christmas in Vegas.
So obviously you are running on Dunkin' Donuts right now.
That is correct, although they don't have as many. I know there's one in every street corner in New England, but here in Vegas there's only about five in the entire Las Vegas Valley. So they haven't perforated like Starbucks. There's like three on every street corner here.
Well, Starbucks sucks.
Yeah, it's overpriced. I mean, I spent over like $2,000 a year on coffee, and Starbucks is always trying to charge me for mocha, white mocha.
That's right. That's why you stick with the traditional Dunkin' Donuts here on the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. I'm enjoying my dark roast K-cup as we speak.
Yeah, and I know that Michael Felder and Tony Maz and Beetle over there, they do their segment where they send a gopher to get it. Maybe that guy. Maybe send Zach, or if not Kevin, to go on a run.
Maybe we'll send Paul.
There you go. Amazingly delicious.
What do you got? Anyway, what's the line right now?
Yeah, well, funny about the number as far as the total, it opened like 47.5. Now it's dropped down to like 47/46.5. Is there any sort of weather to speak of?
Nothing I know of, but I'll check for you right now.
Cool, but nothing else. Wonder if that has to do with Edelman Blunt being out.
Possibly. When did the Blunt news hit? I know Edelman was like yesterday, right?
Yeah, last night the team officially downgraded the three players, Arrington, Edelman, and Blunt, to out.
Yeah, because the line was New England -10. It opened, it went to 10.5, and now it's back down to -10, which isn't a great sign if you love the Patriots like we seem to.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, I do too. And I think even if Jimmy gets in, I don't think he's going to necessarily just hand the ball off.
I don't know about that. I'm not sure we're looking to run the score up on Rex Ryan. I do think Bill respects him, and I'm not sure he's looking to embarrass him like he might have been looking to embarrass the Dolphins last week.
Anything to that? Rex could possibly join the staff, or is that just complete lunacy?
Lunacy. No chance. He'll either be a head coach next year, I think, or on TV, and I think he's probably... What's that?
For the playoffs. What was the source on that?
Oh, I didn't know anything about that. Where's that report coming from?
There's a report from, I think, on Twitter that after the regular season, Rex might join forces with Bill as a consultant for the playoffs.
Yeah, I know nothing of that.
I have seen nothing to that.
No, and I wouldn't buy it. I can't see that happen.
Maybe it's one of these like blogs that's not really. It's some speculative. What's that blog that like anyone can basically?
Pro Football Talk?
No, it's like Florio's going to double unfollow you for that, Andy. He's going to secret double probation on follow you for that. Anyway, I'm sure everyone's enthralled talking about Dunkin' Donuts and Felger, Maz, and Florio. So let's get straight to the Jeff and Vegas Smart Money play of the week.
Kev's on the phone.
Heavens to Betsy!
Hold on, here it comes.
Heavens to Betsy!
Wow, that's amazing that Kevin could do that. And last week he had the drop as well.
Really.
Before you know it when you see it. I think Kevin might be on the brink of a gigantic new promotion. So you guys better be good to him.
Yeah, I have no interest in being good to him, and I don't think we have anything to worry about in terms of him getting a promotion.
Actually, you may. I heard from reputable Vegas sources that Kevin is in high demand for whatever it's worth. Let's get to the smart sponsor by Candy's Answers. Guys, we're going to back up the truck, but I'm just a little weary. I know Rex always gives him a little bit of trouble, so I'm just going to do a 1,000-star play on New England. I got 10. Give the 10. Take the fat. As far as the total, I have no feeling. I'll just go over for the sake. You know what? I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under 47.5 in 1,000-star play on New England covering the 10. Lock it in.
All right, lock it in.
All right, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff.
You've got it locked in.
Just need to clear up a couple things. Second game last year, the Patriots lost in overtime. Remember, field goal issue, blah, blah, blah. Second game in the series in 2012, 49-19 Patriots. Second game in the series in 2011, 37. I'm guessing it wasn't to one, as the media release says, but blowout probably 10. Paul, what do we got there?
I don't know.
I don't think it's allowed to be one. But 37 to blah, blah, blah. Second game in the series, 2010, 45-3. Second game in the series, 2009, 31-14. So the you know, Rex will keep it close because he always does. The funny thing is he doesn't always in the second game in the series.
On that report that that Jeff brought up, someone tweeted that Rex Ryan could be on the Patriots staff by the divisional round, similar to McDaniels in 2011. Bart Hubick.
Is that even legal?
The perennial
for a head coach
poopster, Bart Hubick.
If he gets fired, what would be the difference?
I just thought the contracts were different for head coaches than they were for assistants.
Didn't maybe not. Well, McDaniel, he referenced McDaniels when he left the Broncos. Came back.
No, he was with the Rams.
He was the offensive coordinator
with the Rams. But I don't. Right. Andy might be right, but I don't think that there's any difference. And I don't think the NFL closed that loophole, did they? I know they talked about possibly doing it, but I don't think they ever did.
They did not.
Interesting. Well, Bart Hubick retweeted that tweet and then put before it "not out of the question," which is nothing. That's
I know a lot of people
that Bart Hubick knows what he's talking about.
Right, which I don't.
He's not a Jets reporter, remember. He is a national like columnist. He's bouncing all around.
And just by saying that doesn't mean anything. Mm-mm. That's not a good report. Don't buy into that. I think there's
And
no
who was the first one from?
Just a Patriots fan tweeting it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
So he took that tweet and then put, yeah, not out of the question.
You missed a good line from me, Paul. Jeff said
it was so good that he has to repeat
it. Was that one of those like blogs or reports from one of those sites where pretty much anybody can post anything they want? And I go, like Pro Football Talk.
A lot of people were talking about the niceties being exchanged between Rex Ryan and Belichick this week. And
is that why people are assuming that?
I think that's why people are maybe trying to connect the dots. Why is Rex all of a sudden being so respectful of Belichick? And, you know,
well, because
Bill has never really engaged in the mudslinging, you know, that Rex, you know, Bill has always been sort of the same way he is with all opponents while he's getting prepared to play them. They're all, you know, to be feared and respected and all that.
But when did Rex say anything? Just because you say, I'm going to compete against the guy and I'm not going to bow down, that doesn't mean you ever, all I can ever remember him saying is, Bill's the best.
Right.
And now people took it mockingly, but he would always say, we know they start out with two advantages. They have the better coach and the better quarterback. We need to, you know, make up for that, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember when he ever said anything. Now, maybe it's a little different this week when he says, I'm envious of what they have, you know, what they've, but I thought he was always pretty respectful of Bill Belichick and the
And out of those two, if you want to really stretch it and say that he's disrespectful, it would be Brady, because he always uses Manning over Brady. Publicly.
Yep.
Remember the thing when Brady was at the Broadway play?
Yep.
Seeing the Vince Lombardi play? Oh, if it was Peyton Manning, you know, Peyton Manning would be home watching the game, studying film, all that crap. So Brady's the guy that he's gone after.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm just, if you want to try to make something out of those.
Brady gives a crap what Rex Ryan thinks about
it. And I don't think that, to be honest with you, I don't think Ryan is disrespectful of Brady. I just think that if one of those two has been disrespected by Ryan, it would be Brady, not Belichick.
Right.
Yeah, he's been, even when he said, I'm not here to kiss the rings, that was no shot at Bill Belichick.
No.
Not at all. Before we get to the keys to the game,
that would
let's
be
get
great.
To a
what
more.
A story that would be.
What's that?
Do you think there's any chance?
No.
I don't either.
Oh, I don't either. It would be awesome.
That would be unbelievable.
It'd be great
if we're
all wrong on this and it happened.
I think it'd be great just for, regardless of what he would offer, just for the, you know me, I want the rivalry. We argued this last week, Paul. To have Rex Ryan come here would ignite some Jets, Woody Johnson, more border war type rival.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that him coming here for the playoffs and potentially, you know, advising, consulting, whatever you want to call it, would somehow boost his resume for the next head coaching gig that he gets?
I do. I mean, if he comes in here and he helps the defense.
I don't see how it hurts.
I don't see how it hurts.
That's
exactly
much.
What I was just going to say.
Like, if they win the Super Bowl and we're right and the Super Bowl and the defense is a big part of it, the Legion, no, what is it? The Island of Doom.
Island of Doom. Hasn't caught on the way I thought it would.
No. Well, evidently it caught on in August. That's why.
Did you try to make it catch on?
I tried. It didn't catch. No one wanted to
Me
use
too.
It.
Me too. I wrote about it in the paper this week.
And the Patriots fans are tired of it because they've been calling it that
since
August.
Yeah, we just didn't know.
I asked Revis if he liked it.
What'd he say?
He kind of laughed and rubbed his beard and smiled and then had to run to a meeting.
And then thought to himself, this guy's an idiot.
He did.
I'm going to go to my meeting now.
Certainly. Well, he may have been late. He was the only guy left in the locker room.
But he's Revis, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Stacy was yelling, all right, guys, wrap it up, guys.
But here's one of the reasons why I really don't think it would happen. I think he is going to get another head coaching job this offseason.
Atlanta.
And Atlanta is the number one target. I mean, everyone's been saying that.
Yeah, but who's his OC?
But
I still think he needs a strong offensive coordinator.
But with that said, him doing something like that with the Patriots would get in the way of him going through the interview process and getting hired at the next gig. Because they always say the coaches who are, you know, assistants on Super Bowl winning teams are at a disadvantage because they're, you know, preparing for games and getting ready where they would normally be interviewing for jobs. I guess you're right. I mean, it's not like
because he's not a coach here.
Right.
So if he's a consultant, anything he adds is helpful, right?
But
if he's not here on Tuesday because he's interviewing in Atlanta, he arrives on Wednesday and that extra set of eyes, you know, like Greg Schiano at the combine sitting with Bill in the box, that extra set of eyes, anything he offers, whether it's 1% or 100%, is in addition to what you already had.
But it could have been two or three more weeks that you spend getting ready for your next job if you've been hired right after the season.
Do you really think he gets ready?
No, you're right. But it's just a bad look.
I don't envision him as, you know, walking into those interviews in a full suit with 8 binders and 17. He walks in brashly and says, I'm the best damn defensive coach in football.
Right.
Your defense blows. You already got Matt Ryan. You want me? You win.
I don't think that he is a good head coach. I don't.
I think it's questionable.
I think he's not a good head coach.
The reason you're giving me right now, which is you don't want him to come in and touch an offense.
No, but the problem is we're spoiled through glasses of New England. We look at it like, ooh, Bill Belichick can coach the DBs. He can coach the wide receivers. He can coach the quarterbacks. Can Mark Trestman coach the DBs? Bad example. I know he's a bad coach, but how many other head coaches are great in all positions on both sides of the ball?
Do you think either one of the Harbaugh brothers could be involved at least a little bit on each side of the ball?
I don't know.
I think they could. They don't strike me as...
How much do you think Jim Harbaugh does with that defense?
Well, my point is that if he needed to be involved, he could.
See, I think Jim Harbaugh is a really good head coach.
I think they're smart enough guys. Well, there's also the other aspect of not just each side of the ball, but managing the game itself.
Yes.
The in-game stuff,
yeah.
Which
I'm
seems
not
to
saying
be a
he's
challenge
above
for Rex
criticism,
Ryan.
But I also think it's overblown.
I think it's
Are you
going to
tell
overblown.
Me in 20 years of studying offenses, he's never figured out what works and what's good on offense, what gives him a hard time, what Brady does that makes him, like, come on, that's ridiculous.
I think the majority of the head coaches are offense or defense dominant, one or the other. Belichick is a rare exception.
You know, like, why does Mike McCarthy...
Well, I would even say that I think Belichick is defense dominant.
Yeah, but he's terrific offensively,
he's
too.
He's great on both. But why does Mike McCarthy have Dom Capers, like, as experienced a coordinator as you could possibly have?
Right.
Because he's an offensive coach.
Jim Harbaugh has Vic Fangio, who's a very good defensive coordinator. That's what I'm saying. And I think that Rex Ryan needs one of those on offense if he's going to be at his best.
Correct.
He needs a good, strong offense. Now, I think he had Morningweg was there this year, right?
Yes.
And I do think that he has been better. Now, you wouldn't know it because it's a train wreck when you have that bad of a quarterback, okay? But I think that if you put him in a situation where Morningweg had Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Roddy White and those guys, I think they probably would be pretty good offensively. And I think Rex Ryan is better with the side that he's dominant with than the majority of coaches are in that league.
Patton,
now, Belichick is just great at everything. He's good on offense and defense.
Pat Nagawam tweeted us this morning. He was having pancakes getting ready for the PPGS. What's going on, Pat?
Awesome.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
How are those pancakes?
Oh, those pancakes were great. The bacon was better, though. It was apple cinnamon cured.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
Oh, yeah. You guys might have to keep an eye on Fred today, you know, with Blount being out. I think they might go Jonas Gray heavy. And if he gets, you know, if he reaches that 200-yard threshold.
Well, wait a minute. Gray rushes for 200 yards against the Jets, you might have to keep an eye on me, because that means he's a hell of a lot better than I thought he was, because that's a good Jets defensive front.
Somebody get Fred a napkin.
Oh, soggy pants.
Our show
Kirsch.
Should make cots bigger.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for today. I think, you know, with Edelman being out, I think Amendola, you know, I don't think he's going to have a, you know, you're not going to see a lot of throws his way, but I think I think he might have a decent game, too. You know, like 4 or 5 catches, 80, 85 yards, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, that's great.
Edelman being out.
Yeah, I think he's going to have at least 5 catches. I think they're going to throw the ball a good bit today. So they're going to spread it out. And I think he's going to be part of it. I think he's going to be part of it. He's not going to be Edelman, just like Edelman wasn't Welker when he did it. But I think you're going to see a pretty productive day from Danny Amendola. If you're in a PPR league, I think you'll have good luck with him.
And you know what today is. I mean, if they win, they clinch at least the first round bye. So, Paulie, it's right in their hands.
Ooh.
What was that one?
Right in their hands, Paulie.
Oh, that one. I like it.
All right, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
See you later.
Pat, have a good one. Appreciate the call.
Did he say apple cinnamon cured bacon?
Something like that, yeah.
That's interesting. I've had apple smoked bacon.
That sounds yummy.
But the cinnamon, but you have maple, and maple's not too far from cinnamon. That's intriguing. I like good bacon.
Julian's in San Antonio today.
Edelman?
I don't think it's Julian Edelman.
Guys.
What's up,
How's
Julian?
It going, guys? First
Great.
Time caller.
Welcome aboard. What made you call today?
So it could be
I got the alert that y'all are going to be on live, so on my phone, I was like, you know what? Let me call in for the first time and, you know, introduce myself and say hi. And I actually went to the Pats game against the Lions, my first time at Gillette. Phenomenal. Great
nice.
Scene.
Nice. So you live in San Antonio and you were just up here?
I live in San Antonio. Me and my buddies went up for a Pats game, and from here on out, we're making this an annual thing, so I love it.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you've joined the PPGS. What do you think of today's game? You worried?
I didn't know that Jules was going to be out. I thought it was, you know, a little bit of concussion, you know, issue, but so he's out for sure?
He is definitely out. He, Arrington, O-U-T. And Blunt, or O-U-T, out.
Wow. Didn't know that. So
you're worried.
All right. Amendola's got to do something.
He will. Don't worry. We're already predicting 5+ catches.
Okay. All righty.
Although some Tim Wright fans are also chiming in that maybe this is a Tim Wright day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I've got a little story about Tim.
There you go.
Tell
actually,
it.
Brian Timms.
Oh.
At the Lions game, we were like, you know, 9 rows behind, you know, the Patriot bench.
Yep.
And towards the end of the game, like, you know, we were trying to, you know, wave down Gronk and Brady, but they never really turned around. Then Brian Timms, you know, he kind of sees us and he throws his cap like a frisbee, and then my buddy catches it one-handed. I'm like, are you kidding? It's ridiculous.
Nice.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you made the call today, and don't be a stranger. Feel free to check in regularly.
Thanks, Julian.
Be
Appreciate
a second
call.
Time caller next week.
There you go.
San Antonio. You think he remembers the Alamo? Oh, he's in both cities. All the talk this week about Patriots Spurs. He knows firsthand. He's a big Patriots fan and lives in San Antonio.
Email address.
What
web.
Goes on in that giant squashy yard?
I don't know.
That was the
I
talk this week.
A lot of time I leave it alone.
Bill was talking about how he has a lot of indirect conversations with Greg Popovich, to which I said, what the hell's an indirect conversation?
Webradio@patriots.com.
Charlotta
writes in. No.
Beto, just say
What's
no.
What's an indirect conversation?
Because then he gets mad.
Like it bothers you.
If it doesn't bother you the way it does him, it gets him mad.
Charlotta writes in, our offense is explosive enough without Edelman, even though he's a number one receiver. Time for Amendola to show what he's made of. Didn't think we were going to be run heavy today anyway,
no.
So I think we'll be fine with Gray and Bolden between the tackles against their non-existent secondary. I'm expecting Brady to throw it all over the field.
I'm sure we'll find out from Eric Allen a little bit later, Jets.com.
Not to be confused with Matthew McConaughey.
Or to be confused with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Muhammad Wilkerson could return this week. He's missed the last month with turf toe. That would even more hinder your chances of having a run-heavy game plan.
Yeah, I think if you're going to have a lot of success on the ground today, it's going to be because you get a lead early and they quit.
Correct.
You're able to run the clock out in the second half with a lot of volume. You'll get a lot, you know, you get up around 40, 45 carries as a team because you spent the last 3 quarters up by 3 scores, 3 or more scores, and you just run it down their throat. But if the game's competitive, I agree with Andy. I don't see the Patriots making their hay today running the football as Andy breaks his knee on the radio table.
Yeah. Good job.
It looked
Andy.
Like it hurt.
It did.
Yeah,
it sounded like it hurt. Eric Allen of Jets.com will be joining us at 12:15. 1 hour from now, we'll talk to him and get the latest from the New York Jets side of things as we head into this game. Probably the last game Rex Ryan will coach with the Jets against the Patriots.
Also his last home game.
Yes.
They're on the road next week.
855-PATS-500, the phone number, webradio@patriots.com, the email address. And coming up next, the keys to the game. Stay tuned.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
The
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops.
Andy's apparently not a fan of this one.
Bing Crosby's a classic.
No, I like this one.
Well, what are you making fun of it for? You're mocking it.
I'm not really mocking it. It's what I do to songs. I generally do like the more upbeat Christmas music. But
next break will come out with something hot.
Little Mariah. I hate that song. It's the greatest modern Christmas song there is.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Wham's Last Christmas is the greatest modern Christmas.
I like that,
Grandma,
too.
We'll play Dominic the Christmas Donkey for Paul.
Not a big fan of that.
That's what I look for.
That's the greatest modern
Christmas song ever made.
The last.
Do you know
Christmas
that
song.
Last Christmas by Wham is the
most sold
single in the UK ever? They have purchased that song more than any other song.
With all due respect to my UK friends.
To the Brits.
What do they know?
Just saying, very popular song, Paul.
It is a very popular song.
It's very upbeat. It's very upbeat.
Yeah, but
Mariah's
is better.
How about they know it's Christmas time? Where's that rank on your list?
Do they know? That song sucks.
Last Christmas, does it?
That one? That's the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, that one sucks.
What about one of the 7 million versions of what Paul calls the what?
The date rape song?
Oh, the date rape song. It's Baby, It's Cold Outside, yeah.
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Been a new injection of those this year.
Bill Cosby says, sit down and stay.
Yeah, that was the South Park, and he raped Taylor Swift.
I made a Bill Cosby joke a couple weeks ago, and I was told not to do it again.
See, that's why we would never last on Real Radio.
I was told, don't do that again.
Why can you not make a timely, humorous joke?
And you know what? It was not at all mocking what has gone on with, you know, no disrespect to anyone involved, but it was a timely joke.
No. Disrespect to Bill Cosby.
Yeah, it was disrespect to Bill Cosby.
Okay,
because
he's I'm fine with disrespecting him. He's a serial rapist over multiple decades.
Yeah, so allegedly.
Alleged. That's therapist, Andy.
Therapist.
Cover yourself there. Wait, allegedly.
Is he a CBS guy? Does he have CBS ties?
Probably.
Oh, I don't think so.
Because that would be
I'll
why.
Bet you that's
you know who he's got ties to.
I'll bet that comes down.
It's Tom Werner.
Well, yeah. That's that show. I think the Cosby Kids was a CBS one, though.
Oh, maybe it was.
But
I
you're right. His more recent ties would be NBC and Werner. Yeah, you're right.
So what was the joke?
We'll tell it off the air. How does that sound? Tell it off the
air. Wow.
You never know.
I don't want to get in trouble for repeating.
He went to that University of Regina Canada.
It was it was not even a tenth as bad as what you just said about Bill Cosby in the date rape song.
That
was like
me.
Mild.
That was
South Park.
You know what I'm saying?
And we didn't say it. South Park said it.
Right. You're just repeating it. It was not even. I didn't even think it was mildly offensive.
Was it funny?
Yeah, it was. It got a lot of laughs at the time.
Too many laughs? Is that one of those where you tell it and you go,
too much attention brought to it.
Killing
that
on the
was
internet.
A little big.
Yeah. Why don't we get to the keys to the game? It's Patriots Jets today at MetLife Stadium. Only two more games to go for the Pats.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, keys to the game. Patriots taking on the Jets. This is a team that they squeaked by in Foxborough a number of weeks ago, and now they're back at it against the Jets at MetLife Stadium today. What do we got for keys to the game?
You want to go first, Paul? Holiday season. I'm going to give you the first crack.
Oh, okay. Then I will go first, and I will say the reason that that game was close, way back when, was because the Patriots simply couldn't stop the run. And if you allow...
you already kind of said it, though. So.
If you allow the Jets to control the ball, control the clock, and keep Geno Smith out of the equation like they did a couple of Mondays ago against the Miami Dolphins, you know, and Geno Smith ends up throwing the ball, I think, 13 times in that game, and the Jets will have a chance to win. So this one's a big one for Big Vince, Alan Branch, Silva Salinga, those guys up front, Hightower and Collins, behind them. Just continue to do what you've been doing. The run stopping has been excellent over the last, 6-8 weeks. Just continue that, and I don't think the Jets will have any answers offensively. Stop the run.
Okay, I'll go to the offensive side of the ball and go simple. Offensive line, don't screw it up. That's a good defensive front you're going against. Better than some of the defensive fronts you've gone against recently that have given you some hiccups. And everything else that comes offensively, I think, will come from you protecting, you blocking. You need to get off to a fast start, but you're only going to get off to a fast start if Tom Brady's comfortable. And make sure Tom Brady's comfortable. Don't let Muhammad Wilkerson, Calvin Pace, Copels, any of those guys make your day crappy. And I'm pointing a little bit at you, Nate Solder, on the left side of Tom Brady, that blind side. But offensive line, block a good defensive front. Everything else will trickle down economics from there.
If you stop the run, the Jets have nothing left.
Theoretically.
They don't have a quarterback. Right.
Theoretically. But they'll try to hit some big plays. They'll run some wildcat, Percy Hart. They'll try to do something. But you're right. If you stop the run, the game is over. That's why I told you.
Johnny in L.A. writes in, how do you guys think the Patriots are going to defend against Percy Harvin today?
Well, first of all, Percy Harvin is dinged up. Missed practice on Wednesday and then was limited the rest of the week. Is that
correct,
Paul?
Yes. He is listed as probable, though.
But he is certainly a unique. You know, I was looking at the Jets' numbers. Every person who's carried the ball more than once for them, and there's a list of like seven of them, averages better than 4 yards a carry. All the guys that have carried it like 20-plus times or more are well over 4 yards. Like, they just flat out, and Bill said it, the personnel, the schemes, the different issues they do on the ground, this is as diverse as you're going to face as a defense. I'm guessing they'll have Percy Harvin wrinkles. I mean, this is a wrinkle game for them. You got nothing to lose. Oh, wait, so it didn't work. Oh, I got sacked. Oh, it's 2nd and 25. Who cares?
Specifically, Jamie Collins is athletic enough, I think, to run and try to run with him. You can't let him. He needs to be accounted for because Andy's right. They're going to try to get the ball in his hands. I think since they've acquired him, they've made a concerted effort in virtually every game to do that. Sometimes it's worked. Sometimes it hasn't. But he is a guy to be watched. And one of the things that Belichick talked about, and to Andy's point about their success running the ball, you would think that you'd be able to shut down the running game of a team that can't throw it. But they've had really good health with their offensive line. Their entire group has played almost every game together. And they do have a couple of good backs in Ivory and Johnson. And Chris Johnson has been a little bit better lately. He's really starting to chip in a little bit. They have two guys. I think they combined for well over for over 1,500 yards, Andy. Is that right?
Yes.
Johnson and Ivory. And like Andy said, they're both averaging better than 4 yards a pop on a team that absolutely can't pass the ball. That's pretty impressive.
This is why I love the PPGS. We just got an email from Warren in London.
Yes,
Warren.
One of my UK friends.
He's a good lad.
Well, yeah, I get what you did there.
So Warren's does he right now. Warren's shaking his head in disgust.
Warren's last name is Ladd. But Warren writes in.
And how do you spell that?
Writes L-A-D-D.
The Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. I mean, this stuff, you can't make it up.
What goes on in your head?
Just tie it all together.
Again, wow. So Warren writes in that Wham's Last Christmas wasn't the top-selling UK song.
Nice job, numbnut.
It was the single that sold over a million copies. It was the biggest-selling single in history that did not reach number one on the music charts. That's what it was. Okay. I knew there was something about it being the biggest.
So it's King of the Dip Poos.
Yeah, something like that. He says the highest-selling UK single ever was Candle in the Wind post-Diana death in 1997.
Yeah, which is probably like 28 billion
right.
to your little 1 million.
Well, hey, Warren,
wow,
love it, man.
Misinformation he just gave out.
You know that Warren loves Wham's Last Christmas.
I mean, everybody does.
There's no doubt about that.
I'm not a fan.
What do you think of Dan Fogelberg or whatever his name
Fogelberg?
Is?
What's he do?
Another old Lang Syne, the one where I met my girlfriend at the grocery store, and then the snow turned into rain.
I don't think I know that one.
It's just insane.
You know that one, Paul? Is that one any good?
Only because of Andy.
Everybody hates it because it's like the most depressing song ever. It's these two lovers that come back to hometown or whatever for Christmas,
yeah,
meet at the grocery store, can't find a bar to go, you know, hang out, so they sit in her car and get drunk on a six pack, and then they realize they have nothing in common anymore, and they just go home and cry.
Basically.
She's
terrible.
She's not happily married. He's a musician. He's not happy. No one's happy.
Wow, that's a sad song.
And somehow snow turns into rain.
There we go.
Last Christmas.
We need to come back from a break with this so we can let it play a little longer.
Because we need to promote the highest selling song of all time that wasn't anywhere near the highest selling songs of all time.
That didn't make it to number one.
I want to find out where it is on the list. Warren, find out where it is on the list. I know it's not number one, but find out where it is. It's got to be high on the list. People love that song.
You love that song.
Oh, I do. It's a great song.
Horrible.
Al from Italy writes in, "Happy holidays to everybody. Today we need to win, and then we need to chucurari in Sicilian means to wish bad luck or to someone or somebody."
So the Broncos? Chucurari, the Broncos?
Chucciari?
Chucciari.
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 Something like that. Wishing bad luck to the Broncos on Monday. Anyway, I have a bone to pick with Mark. Enough with the Lester talk on the radio. He's gone. Move on. Al from Italy. And he did not say anything about Andy there. He did not
sounds
disparage
like
Andy.
I think he's turned the corner on
he
you.
He likes me now.
Yeah,
he's turned
good.
The corner
seems
on
like
you.
Seems like he's a little not happy with you.
Yeah, let's all share in that and root on the Bengals, because I believe next week, if both the Patriots and Broncos win today, Broncos tomorrow.
You have to win next week?
Then next week is going to be a 425 game, and we don't want that.
No. Oh, that's a good point, Paul.
We don't want that. No one wants that. I know you don't care, Andy. I care about these stupid things.
And I don't know why.
It's pretty simple. I like 1 o'clock Sunday games.
I do, too, but
with our new schedule, I'll tell you, the fours aren't that bad either.
We get Andy out of here quick.
You got to leave
earlier.
I know.
Andy called
me. You got to leave earlier before, you know, longer before the game to get a parking spot.
Andy had to call me on the ride home last week because he said we left too early. We got stuck in traffic.
Oh, I hit traffic.
Which is, he's like, I can't believe this has never happened before.
I was so confused because they still had Route 1 South set up where all the lanes are going. So I'm actually driving on like
on
the other side of the road. And
yeah.
Yep.
Like I was all out of whack.
Tyler writes in, "Hey guys, love the show. Y'all are the best."
Thanks, y'all.
How do you think Jonas Gray and Danny Amendola will turn out today? And also, what is Danny Amendola's contract situation?
$4 million salary for next year, and he's virtually gone.
It's a five-year deal he signed, right?
Yeah.
So this is the end of the second of those 5 years.
And it's been a painful
But I believe there's no – this year there was guaranteed salary. I don't believe there's any guaranteed salary. You'd have some proration of the signing bonus and the previous guaranteed money.
What's the cap hit, Miguel?
Are you asking me? Or
are you asking us to look at Miguel's page?
If they, you got that, Beetle?
Hold on.
You're good.
Miguel is the best at this, by the way.
PatsCap.com,
the greatest resource for Patriots salary information out there.
And Miguel blows away, by the way, supposedly real sites. There's one called Sports Track, I think it's called.
Spot Track.
Yeah. It's terrible. I've gone there knowing specific stuff, and it's wrong, so now I'm afraid to use anything they write because the stuff I already know is wrong. Go to Miguel if you want Patriots salary cap info.
I'm just
apparently
curious.
He hasn't found it yet.
I'm curious to see what the cap hit, because I do believe that they can cut him next year.
Oh, yeah. I believe there's just the acceleration of the normal bonus, maybe $1 million and change. I believe it's small.
Miguel also had a great article specifically on Danny Amendola not too long ago, giving you the dates and when they could move him before the season, before that June 1st date, after the season, all that stuff. The cap hit for next year is 5.6 for Danny Amendola.
Salary is 4.
Cut him.
So 1.6 is dead money?
Hold on.
There's got to be an acceleration of the other 2 years.
Cap savings, if cut, $1.5 million.
So
that's before June.
We say 5.6?
That's before June 2nd.
So
if cut.
5.6 minus 1.
If cut after June 1st, it would be a savings of $1.2 million.
So you're still going to have somewhere in the range of $4 million
on
the cap. But you'll save money. He's gone.
So his cap hit, according to Miguel, would be 3.6 if he is cut or traded before June 2nd.
Right.
So $3.6 million is
so
what the number
that's certainly be. Not a number that would prohibit you from doing.
And you're saving $2 million total? You added at 5.6 down to 3.6?
On the cap.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of savings there to be had.
But also not a not a definitely untradeable contract either.
And not an onerous number if you wanted to keep him.
No.
If you still want, you know, you're still concerned about Edelman's durability and whatnot, you know, it's not breaking the bank to keep him.
I'm not worried about the cap hit. They shouldn't be spending money on that player. Like, take the money you would have spent on him
really,
and spend it
really
on somebody
else. You really have a bee in your bonnet over Danny Amendola.
I do, because I think it was a bad deal, and I did not like it when they signed him.
I didn't either.
I didn't like the signing, and it has not worked out. So the faster they remove that from their team and put those resources elsewhere, I'll be happy.
As soon as I can find the email.
I don't blame them for having him here this year. The contract is the contract. If you're paying him, have him here. That's the reason why he's here, though. He still has a job with this team because of that contract. I firmly believe that. Because
I would agree with that. And the worst part to me of the contract when they signed, the signing itself, is I think that they did it for all the wrong reasons. I mean, you know, it was in the Welker situation. I think they wanted to try to leverage him, and I think that was their fault. I feel like that was a contract given for the wrong reasons.
Guardian Injury Report. This week's Injury Report is brought to you by the Guardian Life Insurance. Injuries aren't just a spectator sport. They can happen on or off the field, and they can happen to you. Good financial health begins with the benefits offered at your workplace. Make the defensive play. Look for Guardian Life Insurance to protect you and your family this enrollment season. Star-studded list of inactives that we knew some of earlier, but Dan Conley, starting left guard, out. Julian Edelman out, Alfonso Dennard out, LeGarrette Blount out, Kyle Arrington out, James White, despite warming up, out, and Jordan Devey out. So Dan Conley is added to the list of starters or key players who will not be playing today for your New England Patriots. A little concerning.
Cameron Fleming back, however. And the newcomer, Steve Maneri.
So do we expect Cameron Fleming will play guard? Or do we expect Josh Klein?
I would expect Klein to play guard. Wouldn't you?
I don't know. You know, some people think that the extension to Conley, maybe Fleming's going to guard and Conley will be your swing tackle and insurance, blah, blah, blah. There's an opportunity to play Cameron Fleming at guard.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think it went very well when he played guard the first time in Kansas City.
Jets inactives are out. Muhammad Wilkerson will be back today. He is not inactive, so it looks like he is going to play. Paul had brought that up a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, bad news for the Patriots because, you know, I do think he makes their front more formidable. He's the best player on that front. Richardson's a good player.
Not according to Sheldon Richardson. He says he's the same as J.J. Watt.
No, I know that. But I think Wilkerson is the best player on that front. They're good. They're
phenomenal.
Wilkerson and even the big guy, what's it, Harrison? That's the funny nickname I forget now. But
Snack.
They hit Snacks, yeah. They're formidable up front. Now, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good when you have a bunch of guys who've never played cornerback trying to play cornerback. I mean, it's the worst secondary probably ever assembled. They've had so many starting cornerbacks either lost or on injured reserve.
Tyrus is in California today. What's up, Ty?
Hi, I just wanted to call in and say that I hope we kill the Jets today and, you know, just keep it going in this playoff race to get that first round bye.
I hear you, and I think we all echo that sentiment. Who the hell's laughing in the background? Don't laugh at me.
He's laughing at me.
Oh. Okay. Are you worried at all today, given the injuries?
Not really, but I wish we had Blunt today because Blunt is more of the strong back, and he could pick up big chunks of yards.
Blunt is better. I agree.
Hashtag Blunt is better. Okay, well, thank you, Tyrus.
Yes, you're welcome.
See ya. Tell her to stop laughing.
Quiet down over there. Quiet down.
Where's your wife's off switch?
Open phone lines for you. 855-PATS-500.
I'm worried now. Tom Brady looks a little dazed. Walking into MetLife Stadium. Looked like he didn't get a good night's sleep. I'm concerned.
855-PATS-500. You could read all of that just by seeing that small clip. Yeah,
that's Sheridan Meadowlands is a pit.
Is that where they stayed?
I don't think
so. It's where we did the Thanksgiving a while ago.
Yeah, that's not where we stayed this time.
Yeah. New spot and not their usual different place from that either.
Yeah, there's some place that we had never stayed
before. I'm going to call. I like our friends in Australia because they are very receptive when I give out the number to using the number.
They do call.
So our good buddies, 1-800-429-2286. That's 1-800-429-2286, baby. Give us a call now if you're in the land of kangaroos.
Good day, mate.
Good day, mate. Throw another ship on the boat.
You know it's Monday morning.
Kyle Arrington, by the way. Did a little travel thing in the Globe I saw this week, and that's the place he most wants to visit right now.
Okay.
Wants to take a trip to Australia.
Alfonso Dennard.
What about him?
Inactive again. The guy went from starting the first four games of the season to now being a healthy scratch when other cornerbacks are hurt.
Yeah.
It's been quite a fall.
He had a really sad Instagram post this week where it was like a selfie of him smiling, and it was something along the lines of trying to smile even through these like very difficult times. Like, you can tell he's not happy about the fact that he's not playing.
No, nor should he be. Everybody wants to play.
And I'm not saying that he should
I felt bad for him.
I'm not suggesting that he's getting screwed or he should be playing.
No,
or
I don't
whatever.
Think he is.
I'm pointing it out.
Oh, I'm not sure he isn't.
That's a big drop from the start of the season to now.
So what do you think is going on?
He can't get in there even with Arrington out.
I just think there's a chance he's getting screwed, that he's better than Malcolm Butler. So to me, that's
based on what we saw from Malcolm Butler last week. I would say that's not a
right. So he's getting screwed
somehow. Far-fetched thought.
The better player is not active.
Yeah,
I don't know why. But he's not active.
I agree with you. My point was, I'm not necessarily making this a referendum on Belichick. I'm saying
I am.
I can't believe that this guy has fallen that far.
It's another.
I can't either. Literally, that's how I feel. Literally, I can't believe he's fallen that far. So then, why is he inactive?
I don't think he played overly well. But the guys that are playing in
hashtag
place of him
Butler
aren't
and Ryan
well.
Suck.
Right. Those guys are not playing well.
So he can play, I guarantee you, he can play as well as those guys have played recently. But he's not out there.
Hard time arguing with that.
So he's getting screwed.
You think something happened off the field?
No. I mean, well, we know things have happened off the field, but I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
I'm not talking about his legal problems that he's had. I'm talking about
other stuff.
Other stuff. Like, was there
I have no idea.
Something happened. Did he show up late for a team meeting? Or was he, like, he's not getting, been it's like invested
the
pro, in
it's
you
like
know,
the program?
Preparing for games? Something like that.
It's like the program. He's getting punished now for the stuff off the field. But in the first month of the season when Bronner was out and they needed him, they played him. It's like the backup quarterback that was
cheating. We'll punish you when it suits us. Right.
Yeah, and I'm not sure it matters. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time. They're
no,
a good pass defense.
I just brought it up
Browner's
because,
good. Revis is good.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But
they have not missed Dennard. I'm just curious as to how, even with Arrington out.
Well, I don't know that you can say they have not missed Dennard. I mean, they gave up a 50-yard pass on the first play of the game last week and then a 32-yard touchdown at the end of. If he plays and doesn't give those up, then you've missed him.
That's a good point.
Maybe he should be out
point.
There.
Can't argue. Maybe he should be out there.
Butler has not looked great. I can tell you that much.
Well, it's like I had Butler was like my little pet project for the summer, and I really liked him, and I still like him. I think he's got a lot of potential.
A depth player.
But that
somebody
doesn't
develop.
That doesn't mean I want him out there in the first snap opposite Mike Wallace, one of the fastest, most dangerous deep threats in the game.
Right.
He's not a great wide receiver, but he can make big plays. And, oh, by the way, he had 100 yards last week. Why? Because Malcolm Butler was covering him half the time.
Steve's in Toronto. Steve, you there?
Yeah, hi. How are you guys doing
today? What's going on, man?
Not much. I just got a quick comment prior to the game. Just hoping that we see a little bit more focus at the end of the half than we have in the last few weeks. I think that there's just been a few too many breakdowns going into the locker room, and just like to see a little bit more focus on that. Just want to thank you guys for all your efforts, and I'll listen offline.
All right.
Very good.
No question. The last 2 weeks, very atypical Patriots. 2 weeks ago in San Diego, a pick in the red zone by Brady to Manti Te'o. And last week, just a train wreck in the last 40 seconds where they can't get a first down, they can't cover a punt, and then they can't cover Mike Wallace. So it was a perfect storm of ineptitude.
And they've really missed the presumed second quarter, third quarter double dip. Like, that is just like so far, because either they screw up the end of the second quarter or they screw up the beginning of the third quarter.
I mean, and that had been such a strength throughout the middle part of the season. They were scoring in the last literally the last seconds of every half.
People want to, you know, immediately just point to the offense for some of these issues, but if you want to take it back, you could point to the Green Bay game, giving up the touchdown at the end of the half to Jordy Nelson.
Yep.
The defense hasn't been extremely focused in playing great at the end of the half either.
That's right. You can go back three games. That's right. I forgot about
that.
You can go
back to the Green Bay game.
I mean, they base almost like a big chunk of their plan of the day, you know, with deferring and getting the ball to start the third and finishing the second, and it just hasn't worked out like they want it to very often of late.
And that's kind of an aside, because even if they weren't getting the ball back to start the second half, they still had these issues at the end of the first. So, yeah, maybe the part that they do defer all the time maybe highlights it a little bit more. But
they're lucky they're the highest scoring offense in football.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I wonder today, you know, Andy just made this comment about Tom Brady looking, what'd you call it, dazed, groggy,
dazed.
Whatever you want to call
groggy
it.
Groggy and dazed,
okay. In the first half,
we don't need to give that legs, you know.
first half last weekend, he did not look good. He did not come out of the gate ready to go.
And then CBS showed his hand where he was pulling his knuckles and cracking his knuckles.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, yeah. There's
minor, could there be something wrong with the hand?
Really?
Remember we did that all of last year? Well, we're back on that.
Well, last year that thing blew up like a balloon.
Blew up like his testicles a few years ago.
Again, what? That's Tom Brady saying that, not Andy.
That was in Sports Illustrated.
I know it was.
He was like the Grinch. His testicles grew three sizes that day.
Well, let's see what he looks like today in the first half. Something to
right.
look for.
But then we don't necessarily know, is he groggy? Is his hand hurt? Or is Nate Solder, you know, getting his ass whooped by Muhammad Wilkerson?
So in one breath you say, we don't need to give that groggy thing legs. And then you say, you know, so we got to figure out if he's groggy.
You know, he's
we
groggy,
don't have to figure out if he's groggy. He's not groggy.
How do you know? Because you know what I haven't seen him do a lot lately that I used to always do?
What?
Was the smelling salts. Remember you used to snap those open on the bench and always do that? I haven't seen a lot of that lately. Oh, I bet I know why. I'm sure Alex doesn't let that happen.
Is
That's
that
not
alkaline?
On Alex's
Is that
Chinese medicine plan.
Breaks apart the 80-20.
Yeah, it breaks up the 80-20 when you start mixing that stuff in there. Get into the holiday spirit with Dunkin' Donuts' delicious holiday cookie-flavored coffees and lattes. Tis the season to indulge in flavors like Snickerdoodle or a new sugar cookie. Try one today.
The sugar cookie's good. I had it Friday.
Yeah?
Yummy.
Good one?
Mm-hmm.
Try one today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. It's a limited time offer. This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Getting you ready for today's game between the Patriots and the Jets. When we come back, we'll continue to take your calls. Open phone lines right now at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-728-7500. Or again, send in your emails, webradio@patriots.com. When we come back, we got to get to the Sunday six pack. Andy made some gains last week. That's next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only. They participate in restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Continue the show in a moment.
What a terrible song.
It's not that bad, Paul.
Yeah, it is.
It's not that bad.
It's also a little...
It's also, there's a million covers of it now.
Undrafted rookie free
the video quarterback out of LSU-ish.
But I don't even really have anything against...
What's that?
You know, George...
The video, it's like a ski trip.
George Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Lamb. I just...
Yeah.
This song is just bad. It's a bad song.
George Michael is...
Andy, anything with
the
word Christmas in it you like.
He's with women in that video. That was...
It's an ironic
lots of
video.
Women. Lots of women in that
huge
video.
Hair.
Mark and Winthrop writes in, Beatle, I'm impressed.
He doesn't love it, but he sings it.
Come on, Paul.
I'm mocking it.
Designated driver. That's
a song. Do you recognize me? That's a song.
Beatle, I'm impressed with your Italian pronunciation. Ciuciare.
Are you sure that's right?
I don't know.
You
however
said it
I
a
said
few
it.
Different times.
I know.
Which one did he hit on?
I don't know. I don't know, but Mark
that,
says...
That means that
Mark
one of those was
good,
right.
And it means to suck is what it means, according to Mark and Winthrop.
Not surprised you know how to say that.
Yeah, we're going to get to the six-pack, but I got to read this email first.
That was off the air. You just answered something no one heard.
That you didn't say that on the air? Sorry. I thought you said it on the air. I can never tell.
Suck. Exactly. It's supposed to be one ear, and for some reason here it's both ears. It's flawed.
John in South Carolina writes, "Last Christmas is a love song with the word Christmas in it, and it's a horrible song. It has nothing to do with Christmas."
If you want even less to do with Christmas, listen to my old Lang Syne, Dan Fogelberg. The only thing that's Christmassy is the date.
John says this is the single worst opinion ever given on the show. That Last Christmas is a good Christmas.
Thank you very much,
Kevin.
Is that John,
one of these breaks, I'm going to need old Lang Syne from Dan Fogelberg.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
yes.
let's get it.
So
Beatle
can hear a song that's truly not about Christmas. I mean, that's like saying Die Hard is a Christmas movie. because they're at the Christmas party when the, you know, the place is taken over. It's not a Christmas party.
Which one movie? Die Hard. Yeah, no.
That's a good call.
Honestly, the other day I had a conversation and someone was talking about best Christmas movies. And the first question I asked was, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not for this conversation? And they said,
this is awful.
Well, I have heard this before.
He touched her, all right. Didn't recognize the face at first, but then her eyes flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled her purse, and we laughed until we cried.
Is that a good cry or a bad cry?
That was a good one, that one there.
Oh, but then it gets sad?
It gets sad.
This is depressing.
They're both unhappy with their lives, basically.
Oh, wow. Merry bleeping Christmas,
and then it ends
huh?
with... the snow turns into rain. It's symbolic because, you know, in Christmas shows, the rain turns into snow because, like, it's snowing. It's great. Where did you hear this, Ian? It's very popular.
With Andy.
Wait.
We have to do the whole next...
No, this is it. This is the end. The things to say. She gave a kiss to me as I got out, and I watched her drive away.
Just for a moment, I was back in school. And felt that old as I turned to make my way back home, the snow turned into rain. Andy secretly loves this
song. Yeah, nothing like a cold rain.
Oh, wait, no. You can tell he loves the song.
And I don't think it's a secret. I do. I love it.
There's nothing like adultery that says Christmas.
Yeah, I would not know that song was a Christmas song, actually. Like, it does.
Well, it starts. It tells you they're in line on Christmas Eve or whatever.
Sound Christmas.
That's the only thing Andy said that's accurate about that song. Is it's really not a Christmas
song. Right, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a depression song that is based around Christmas. You know who heard it and really was depressed by it? Eric. He heard it the other day. I think it hit a little too close to home, if you know what I'm saying.
It reminds him of his own life.
The only thing that's fraudulent is at least this guy had a girlfriend to meet in the grocery store at X. Eric met himself in the grocery store.
Yes, Eric does feel snow pain in the holidays. It's the pain of loneliness. let's get to the six-pack, please.
Off the
nothing
rails.
Like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for Andy's the Sunday six-pack.
I don't mind the show going off the rails. We've done a lot of good shows this year.
Oh, and I'm not saying this is a bad show.
No.
It's Christmas week, so we sprinkle in some Christmas.
We're
there is no game today. There has been no game all week.
You know, and that's been part of the problem, too, is that the Patriots, as they've gotten more and more dominant, there's been less to analyze.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you going to analyze today?
Who's going to be the next Jets head coach?
Make sure the Jets don't hold the ball for 40 minutes.
We get less feedback, too, when the team is dominant.
Yeah, we do. Calls go down. The emails go down. Everything goes down.
Misery loves company. Everybody likes to bitch. What's there to bitch about? Nothing.
Andy.
We were bitching about a corner not playing who is totally irrelevant.
The Cincinnati and Buffalo wins in October, those were our best. That was our best stuff because we were coming off the 2-2 start.
We were circling the wagons.
People are busy today. They're getting ready for the holidays.
Christmas shopping.
They might be Christmas shopping.
Put that thing back on there, Andy.
Andy's breaking things.
You know, maybe we're just
you can shut your mic off.
Turn your mic off while you're doing that.
God.
Couldn't have been worse than the noise you were just playing.
Andy was good last week.
Was good. Andy,
5-1.
I think the best record of the whole year for 1 week, Andy last week, 5-1. Paul, 4-2, making a dent. Mark bringing up the rear at 3-3. That brings the season standings. They've tightened up considerably. Mark, 29-36. Andy, 29-36. Paul, still in it at 25-40.
Paul might actually have a chance to get back into this thing in the last 2 weeks.
I'm only four games behind you, moron.
I know. So here we go.
So here we go. Minnesota at Miami. Miami by 6.5.
Minnesota.
Miami.
Bam. I just took the lead, baby. Booyah.
I'm only three games behind Beetle now.
Game two, Buffalo at Oakland. Buffalo by 5.5.
Buffalo.
Everybody?
Paul didn't speak yet.
He wants to.
Primed and ready for a letdown, a typical AFC East letdown, but I will take Buffalo and regret it.
Can't make any headway with that pick.
Kansas City at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh by 3.5.
Here's one for you, because I like the road team. I like the Chiefs in this game.
Chiefs.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that. Right.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh just because.
I'm not buying in on Pittsburgh. I think they suck.
We know why Andy is
making
a run.
No, the one thing about Pittsburgh is, oh my God, their secondary stinks. Well, the team that they're playing has yet to throw a wide receiver touchdown.
The game of the day, Indy at Dallas. Push. Even.
Indy.
Push?
That's what I have, yeah.
Indy.
I will take Indy as well. A little worried about Dallas's ability to just run the ball right down their throat. But
Dallas is ready to fall apart here. I can feel
Okay, I'm taking Dallas and the criminal to carry it.
And that Philadelphia loss yesterday takes all the pressure off Dallas, too. Yep. I don't feel as good about my Indy pick as I did on Thursday.
So, Paul and Mark, Indy on that one?
I'll take Dallas.
I think Philadelphia
is just going to take a different team.
Lives for another day.
Like, it's ridiculous to take one of the two teams in a pick 'em.
It's not.
Oh, no, they're all close games that we pick, but you're not necessarily picking what you think.
I am.
You're picking the opposite of what everybody else is picking.
And isn't Murray supposed to play?
He is.
Okay. He's going to give it a go.
Denver.
Okay. As long as he gives it a go, he's going to give it a go for 200 yards against that porous run defense.
No, not necessarily.
Monday night, Denver at Cincy, Denver by 3.5.
Denver.
I'll take Denver. Primetime game for Cincinnati. I'll take Denver.
Where's that game?
Cincinnati.
I'll take the home team.
See, he's just trying to catch up now. Now he's playing the game.
I don't think that's ridiculous either, especially since they're getting 3.5.
I'm not even doing that.
No, but he doesn't think it, though. That's
not true, Paul.
That's not true.
So are you picking
what you think or against what you think like you did for that couple weeks, man?
Listen, I don't know.
You were hot that week.
I don't know where Peyton Manning's at right now.
New England.
That's what I think.
New England at New York.
No doubt about
that. And he's on the road. Night game. Who the hell knows?
Game of the day here. New England.
You've said that already.
10.5.
It's the third game of the day.
I think that's kind of a big spread, guys. I'm not even joking. I see like a 10-point win today.
So you're taking the points.
And so I think I'm going to take the Jets plus the points because I see the Patriots winning by 10, you know, because second half – they don't need to try all that hard. I think Jimmy G gets in the game a little bit here.
I think Jimmy G gets in. I think the Patriots will have at least 3 turnovers. They will recover their first fumble in more than a half a football season. It may not be a butt fumble, but it'll be a fumble that they recover. And I think they're going to roll 32-9.
But it will be a fumble?
Yes. Not a butt fumble, but it will be a fumble.
I think the Patriots will roll in this game. And if it's only a 10-point game, Jimmy G ain't getting in it, just so you know.
I'm saying that it'll be bigger than a 10-point game.
And then he'll make it a 10-point game.
He'll make it
a 10-point game at the end. Castle style.
He won't be long for the game if that happens.
If you're up 17 in the fourth quarter, do you put Jimmy G in?
For the last drive? Yeah, but that's not going to have a chance to get within 10 in that scenario.
What if the Jets then score a touchdown?
Well, I don't think there'll be enough time left if they're only up by 17 for the – the Patriots will have the ball. They'll run the clock out.
Listen, I don't see the Patriots having any issue winning this game.
No, I know.
That's what I feel.
I know.
Just it's going to be a 10-point game.
Yeah, I just think there's a chance.
You like that little half point hanging on the end?
I do.
You're taking it. That's fine.
I do. If it was 9.5, I'm taking the Pats.
I'm taking the Pats.
That's why I'm taking the Pats
because that's who I work for.
I get a Pats sweatshirt on. Oh, wait. So do you.
So do I.
I don't.
But you have no faith.
Paul has no faith.
But if you are, by the way, just a rare chance.
I'm laying 10.5. You're not.
If you are in attendance today at Gillette Stadium for the, what's it called? Away game or?
I don't know.
Game with the greats?
Viewing party.
No, whatever it's not a game with the greats.
So whatever the viewing party is.
Ticket member viewing party or something. Road game.
Well, who else is going
to
be there?
Little sneak peek. Halftime at the Super Bowl, you get Katy Perry. Halftime at today's game, you get Paul Perillo.
Paul Perillo.
Whose boobs are bigger? You decide.
You're going to sing Sunshine Day?
Someone asked me.
Will you? Has somebody asked you?
No one's going to ask me.
I'm going to challenge anybody who may be listening to ask Paul to sing Sunshine Day.
By the way, I heard the Sosi one. Oh, my
priceless.
God.
Awesome.
Just gold.
Just awesome. Priceless.
Radio gold.
Unbelievable. I think all.
Did
go
you do that taping
it.
With him?
Yeah. Well, no, I set him up in there, and then I had to go back to do the show.
Set him up was the right term, because he had no idea half of that was on the air.
All I could think of was, like, him in the shower with, like, a shower cap and a back brush just singing that
song. Like, the whole thing that he forgot at the beginning, like, he didn't think you guys were going to play all that
stuff. Bob's a good sport.
He thought it was great.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. That was a good idea by me, was it not?
It was a good idea by you. I'm a little afraid that it's sort of...
Shop your favorites. Victoria's Secret.
It's run its course, you know?
It is, but we're retiring it at the end of the year.
Unless we can come up with some...
We're hoping to maybe get someone with a higher level of celebrity between now and the
end
of
the
season.
Jimmy was asking me if he thought I could get a player to do it.
What did you say?
It's a
long shot, right?
Yeah, I was a little doubtful of that. But
you want me to do it?
We could take a shot.
No, we don't want Andy to do it.
I'm trying to look for a little higher profile.
Oh, yeah. So Bedard.
No.
He's probably still made more than me this week.
Imagine how much he'd ask to sing on that.
I talked to Greg on Thursday. We had some yuck yucks.
Yeah, we need to get someone with a little bit of a higher profile on there.
Yeah, Bedard. He's five times the profile.
No, like not sports media people.
Like Maria Menounos.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That would. Really, but you know what? That would be a big step up for me.
But I would settle for like Maria Stefanos. Like we don't need to go that.
A shot at Maria Stefanos there.
She'd do that. Well, it's a local celebrity as opposed to a national celebrity.
It's not a shot at Maria Stefanos. I'm saying someone local. What's the chances of getting Maria Menounos?
I have no idea if she has ties to your station.
I think there's a reasonable chance for something like that if someone got in touch with her. Yeah, she's local.
And the BZ family doesn't have like connections like that?
She's from Medford.
You know someone, Paul?
GBL town.
You know someone?
Do I know someone?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How about Marky Mark?
Why would I work here if I knew somebody?
The Funky Bunch.
I'm with you on a Sunday morning. If I knew somebody.
Paul, I'm with you.
Are you going to rein this back in?
Yeah, Justin.
We're doing enough navel gazing already.
Hey, we're just having some fun, Andy.
Hey, what's going on,
Justin?
Maybe,
what's up?
Maybe we can get Sean Thornton on later.
39-17, and allow me to also bitch about our 11 second string corner. I think he's injured. I really do. I don't think he just started sucking out of nowhere. I really think Alfonso Dinner's injured. But you guys are doing great. Thank you. Take care,
Justin. I don't think he's hurt.
I don't either.
I certainly don't think at this point. He may have been hurt at some point earlier in the year, and that might have contributed to his decreased playing time, but I don't think it's a factor anymore.
Plus, he played 3 weeks ago? What was the game he played?
This is the third week in a row he's been a healthy scratch.
So a month ago he played. And then he didn't do all that well.
So no. He hasn't. And I don't think he played great earlier in the year. I remember the Cincinnati game, I thought he was bad that night. He gave up the touchdown, I think, to Sanu.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's played very well this year. I'm not saying that he has played at a higher level, but the guys that are replacing him are not any better than him.
Did he give that up to Sanu?
I think it was him.
Didn't Devin McCourty get hurt and come off the field? And the
Logan
safety?
Logan Ryan?
Something
Logan
happened.
Ryan came on for a play in that game and gave up a touchdown, but I don't think it was the one to Sanu. But I might be confusing him.
I think it might have been.
I think Revis got hurt for a play, and Logan Ryan came in, and A.J. Green beat him.
Oh, maybe that's what I remember.
I remember the corner in front of us in the press box.
Oh yeah, no, I'm remembering the one coming from, coming toward us, left to right across the hash, touchdown. I think it was the Sanu one, and I thought Devin McCourty was off the field for.
You might be right, Rabbit.
I might not be.
Let's go to Matthew in Connecticut. Matthew's up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
For the game, and one of them being Julian Edelman out is pretty concerning to me. Because outside of Gronkowski, you know, has been one of Brady's go-to guys to dump off and, you know, try to convert a third down. And second point is, you know, Percy Harvin. I haven't seen him play this much this year because, you know, who watches Jets games? But, you know, seeing him in the Super Bowl last year, what he was able to do and completely stretch out, you know, the Broncos defense on those jet sweeps and even to on a kick return, he's a big threat. And I'm not sure who we have cover him. Along with Eric Decker, but those are really my 2 points. So happy holidays, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Eric Decker doesn't bother me. Percy Harvin is a game-changing type athlete. He can have a couple plays. He's not going to, you know, have, you know, 8 carries and 12 catches, but he only needs 3 of them to change a game.
How do you treat him today? Do you put Revis on him?
Probably not.
You know, do you treat him as a receiver, or do you strictly treat him as a running back?
I think that's a challenge for Revis. I think that really would take him out of it. I mean, the way they can use him in so many different ways, you're really asking Revis to do some stuff he doesn't do. Like, it's okay one play for, Cobb.
Right.
But with the frequency at which you could be asking Revis to essentially play linebacker, and man, you know what I mean? You're sort of taking him out of his natural.
Yeah, I'm just wondering exactly how they're going to handle him and then the trickle down. Because
I think you're right. I think it has to be safeties. I think it has to be Jamie Collins. I think you have to be on your P's and Q's.
Yeah, and Revis, I think, was on Decker for the most part when they played. Now, Browner was not active, I don't think, in that game. Was that the first game that Browner played?
He played, but he wasn't active, I believe. Wasn't that the game that where was he was sucking wind and couldn't do anything?
That was his first game. You are right.
And he got yanked in the first quarter,
yeah, so
came back, got yanked
game.
Again.
And Revis had Decker in that game, and Decker actually made some plays in that game early on, especially, and then they just ran the ball almost exclusively from that point on. You know, I don't know who, you know, Cumberland is and Amaro are both decent pass-catching tight ends. I would imagine.
Amaro, though. He's got some of those dropsies.
Bad drops.
Literally, like he's a wall and it bounces off his hands.
Well, he had one against the Patriots.
Yes,
that
and he had one
cost,
2 weeks
That play
before.
Probably cost them the game.
He has as bad a drop as you'll see. Just to bring it full circle, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Browner covers one of those guys.
You know who has a Christmas song right now?
Who's that?
Decker's wife. I don't really know her name, but
she's a country music, right?
Jesse James Decker,
something like that.
I think she has a. I was listening to iTunes country Christmas station or whatever, and she has one that's in the rotation.
Sounds like Andy's big into the Christmas music.
Oh, he is.
Yeah,
he
got a lot of respect for that.
Oh, I probably have. Paul hates it.
I don't hate it. I hate it in November.
Right there, Andy. Nice.
I love it now.
Yeah.
Because now it's Christmas.
Wait a minute.
I get jacked for
you
Christmas.
You know me, Paul. I don't make the transition until Thanksgiving night is when I click over.
1 month.
And I don't like it then.
Right.
Like,
Every once in a while, they'll sucker me in. I think 106.7 was the Boston station. And I'll be clicking through and I'll hear it and stop and I'll be listening. And then it's, you know, 20th of November.
Wait a minute.
Wait, what
Not
am I
yet.
Doing?
Not yet.
See, I also like, you know, around the house, like you'll have it on, you know, the iPod or something, just be playing in the background like that, the ambiance Beatle. Gets me in the mood.
I probably have 25 Christmas CDs.
I don't want that for a month and a half. Like, these stations nowadays, they play it. Like,
these station nowadays.
They don't know from
station.
They don't know from music, Beatle. You know, let me tell you.
A couple of emails coming in. We've gotten the most emails today on this stuff, including this one that says, "Hey, guys, I just want to say that Last Christmas by Wham is the greatest Christmas song of all time. Also, I know Dennard is better than Butler.
Me
you're
too.
You're all beautiful. Colby in California."
And he means that because he's a big Wham fan. He truly thinks we're beautiful.
That's the worst
Not
part
that
about
there's
it.
Anything wrong with that.
I don't have anything.
Thank you. I'll take
I don't
it
have
as a
anything against George Michael or Wham. There's a lot of songs, probably most of the George Michael songs that I like with him as a solo.
Actually, I looked this up the other day, and it turns out like a lot of the ones that you thought were just him were actually Wham, and like Wham gets the credit.
Like Faith?
I'll give you the list if you want.
I think that's a really good song. Freedom's a really good song. I like a lot of those songs. I just think that song in particular, Last Christmas, is awful.
You particularly like listening to them in like public bathrooms.
In parks.
Sometimes on pickle parks on 140.
Rest stops.
Let's see. Careless Whisper was a Wham
song. Careless Whisper was a Wham song, and that's a good song.
Freedom was a Wham song.
Really?
Yep.
Freedom was Wham?
Yeah, that's the one I'm like, wow.
I love that song.
That was
big
just,
fan.
Yep. So that was a Wham song.
I was
song.
Also a big fan of the video. It had all the supermodels in it.
I don't know if I recognize the names. Everything She Wants?
Is right. Yeah.
Everything She Wants is everything she needs. I'm out of reach, not good enough.
This song
you don't
is,
know that song?
No, I don't remember.
I mean,
that
I know
one.
I can't carry a tune, but
that's okay. That's all right.
Only Sunshine Day.
Ron writes in: there are two kinds of people in this world.
Those who like Wham and those who don't.
No, that's true. But this is what he writes. This is a good email. Those that think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and those that are wrong.
Awesome.
Yeah, because as I say every time, like I was saying the other day, wait a minute, is Die Hard in or out of the discussion for Christmas? Because if it is, it wins. Die Hard gets it. It would be the best one ever.
So what is the best Christmas movie ever?
It's Die Hard if you can count it as a Christmas
movie. Okay, but if you're going to take it a little bit more seriously.
Best one ever?
The Santa Claus.
What's that?
I like that. No. I like the whole series. The Tim Allen movie?
Yeah, we watched one of those the other night with the kids.
I mean, I am partial to two Christmas movies. One of them is obviously Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation.
Tremendous.
I can watch that movie 1,000 times and laugh every single time. So I'd probably put that number one. And number two, I'd put A Christmas Story.
I like A Christmas Story.
Those are my
story.
Two favorites.
I like them both.
I like Polar Express.
I like It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, that's a good classic.
Polar Express I think Polar Express is good. So that's a
I like
kid's
a lot
version.
Of the Christmas movies.
I do. I like almost all of them. We watched Home Alone last night.
about a half hour of which into my sunset. I thought you said this was a Christmas movie. I go, it's Christmas. They're going to Paris. It's about Christmas. It's the week.
Luca writes in.
That is a little diehardish.
There's very little Christmas to it.
Did you guys already address the Caserio McDaniels to the Jets hypothetical? Thanks.
I don't think
show.
We did it on the air. We did talk about we it off did the not air do before it on the show, air. And I'm not sure we did.
No
on
shot
the
in
air.
Hell I've deemed it. I don't think they would go there.
Is it just because of the Jets thing you think that the Bill underlings have been burned by that in the past, and I think these guys now in the position have learned from that and will not do that?
Yeah. But other than that, I don't think that's a terrible idea, the Caserio-McDaniels pairing. I think Josh was a little bit overwhelmed in Denver, and you want people that work together. In theory, I mean, these are Division III high school football teammates that have been together forever.
These guys are close.
They should work together. Now, I know there's a lot of situations where it looks like that, and then they go, you know, Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson played football together, and then when decisions had to be made, right?
Yeah.
But I think that could work. Like
what if
Atlanta.
The Jets knocked them over with money? Like, you just couldn't, you know, like, we were making fun of the guy who...
100 million, Gruden?
Yeah. If Gruden turned down... I mean, obviously, it's not going to be that kind of money, but what if it was just too much money to turn down?
Then I think you go, Bill, can I please?
I don't see it happening either. I think Andy's right. I don't...
Now, I will admit, if I'm it. Bill Belichick and my ego is as immense as it could be, isn't that... You know my old theory when I played football, I like to help people up after a big hit because, like, I find that demoralizing. Like, not only did I knock you on your ass, I'm going to help you up so I can knock you on your ass again. The Jets have sucked so bad, they basically need to come crawling to me and have me fix the problem as Bill Belichick. They need my children to come clean up the mess.
Right.
You know, it's almost like that's how bad you've become. That's what a joke you are, is that my guys will fix it for you. You're crawling to me.
Yeah.
I think that'd be kind of cool, right?
Yeah. Do you?
Especially if he's on the way out.
I've never really understood why it is so forbidden. You know, like the place that the guys go to means so much to Belichick.
Especially since he was there.
Like I've never really understood that.
Well, he's got a thing for the Jets.
No, yep. But there's other teams. So, I mean, Oakland was clearly a thing that a place he didn't really want people going to either.
Which I don't understand because again, he interviewed there and he loved Al Davis.
Yeah, I'm not sure I get the whole thing, but.
Well, Nick writes in that he's upset with Paul because he is rooting for the Bengals.
Oh,
not because
sorry.
It would be a Denver loss and a Patriots win would lock up the one, but he wants it so that the game doesn't get flexed. Nice, Paul. Those are some good priorities.
No, well.
Nick writes, anyway, my prediction is Pats win this one 31-14, and it will get a bit out of hand to begin with, but the Jets will score late to make it seem closer than it is.
Nick, if I had any fear whatsoever that the Patriots could possibly lose one of the last two games, then I would, you know, I'd be worried about more than just that, but there's no chance.
Let's go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
It's time to go behind enemy lines with one of the friends of the program. It'll be Eric Allen of Jets.com. He joins us now on the line from East Rutherford, New Jersey. Eric, good afternoon. What's going on?
Gentlemen, happy holidays and Merry Christmas. When I looked at the schedule before the year, I thought this would be a good slot for the Patriots, for the Jets to have the Patriots here at home late in December because they usually get them early in the year, and I thought this game would mean a lot more for the Jets, but it didn't turn out that way.
So is it fait accompli, as they say, that this is the last Rex Ryan game against the New England Patriots and Rex Ryan's last home game?
I don't think so. I think that's the external narrative. I mean, all anybody's doing right now is it's a guessing game. And Woody Johnson, who talked to the New York Daily News at the owners' meetings in Dallas, said, hey, listen, I know the fan base is unhappy, and I'm going to have to look, obviously, at what's going on here and everybody on the football side and determine whether I got to go a complete different pathway. But I know a lot of people have already said, hey, listen, Rex is definitely gone. This is definitely it. I wouldn't put myself in that category because only one man really knows what he's going to do with the future of this franchise, and that's Woody Johnson. And he's going to have to not only look at Rex, but he's going to have to look at management and say, hey, what's going to be best for this team going forward? Because, guys, you know this. They thought they were, after an 8-8 year, winning three of their final four games last year, they thought they were ascending team, and they thought Geno Smith was an ascending quarterback, and That didn't turn out that way this year.
Well, what is, has it been as simple as that, Eric, with Geno Smith just not playing well, and that's really held back the entire team?
I think it's more than that, guys. I think the two most important players for the Jets heading into this season, one was Geno Smith, of course, and then secondly, it was Dee Milner, because the Jets weren't aggressive in free agency at the cornerback position. John, I think they go out and sign Eric Decker, arguably the top free agent on the market in the wide receiver class, so he upgraded there. But he let Antonio Cromartie depart via free agency and sign with the Cardinals. Darrell Revis, and this one really stung Jets Nation, the fan base, because the most people in the fan, from a fan's point of view, and you guys would know this, they wanted a reunion. They wanted Darrell back here after 1 year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then there are other guys on the market. The Jets did host Dominique Rogers Cromartie, but he signed a more lucrative contract with the crosstown Giants. And what happened this year, guys, is they've been really hamstrung at the cornerback position. This Milner went out early in the year. Dexter McDougal, who they drafted in the third round out of Maryland, he got hurt in training camp, so he did not play at all, participate. Now, was he going to be a key contributor? No, but he's probably going to be their fourth cornerback. And then their number two guy, who was supposed to play across from Milner, was Dmitri Patterson, the guy who they picked up in free agency, and they signed to what they thought would be a low-risk, high-reward deal, and that never panned out. So Rex Ryan has been hamstrung defensively. The front seven consistently has been good. They again, have been good against the run, and they're still second in the National Football League in rushing. But you guys know this, in a point-scoring league, this team's scoring about 16 points a game, and they're the 32nd-ranked passing offense in the National Football League. That's just not going to get it done.
So is it safe to say and assume that if the Jets have a chance today, it's all about the trenches? They're going to need to dominate up front on defense, which they're obviously capable of doing, making Tom Brady uncomfortable. And they're probably going to have to run the ball, much like they did in Week 7 when they scored a season high in points by rushing for 218?
No doubt about it. Actually, that was one of the best performances the Jets had all year when they went to Gillette Stadium on that Thursday night and they had over 400 yards of total offense. They got to get 33 of the ball. They got to get Chris Ivory moving. Like last year, I think about the upset win here, the overtime win, and Ivory had 34 carries and I thought was able to wear down that Patriots defense late. The Jets got a boost defensively today because Muhammad Wilkerson is active, and I still think he's one of the top defensive linemen in the National Football League. Now, we'll have to see how his toe is because he's wearing a different shoe up there, bent on the turf toe. But Sheldon Richardson's really playing very well right now. You got Mo Wilkerson up front, things like that. And they're going to have to get after Brady and company. I don't think the Patriots are going to have a lot of success running the football. I think it's going to be in Brady's hands. And I think the Jets got somewhat of a break with Edelman out of the lineup, but again, how are you going to contend with Rob Gronkowski? And can you get a play or two on special teams? Because the Jets, again, this is a broken record, guys. Every time we talk about it, the turnover margin has been bad this year for this team. And the only way they're going to be able to compete and be in this game down the stretch is if they don't turn the ball over, or at least even in the turnover margin department, and they need a play or two on special teams. Percy Harvin is feeling better. Battled through an ankle injury, basically a non-factor, kind of a decoy last week against the Titans, but I think he's feeling healthier, so if they could get a return from him, that would help out.
How have they been using Harvin since he arrived? That's one of the differences between the teams from the first time is his arrival, and you know, how have they been using him?
Well, Decker's been your X here, guys, and then Harvin's been the Z receiver, but you still can line him up in the backfield at time and use him as a running back, and they've been doing the jet sweeps and things similar to what you saw in Seattle. But a couple weeks ago when he was healthy and he went back to Minnesota, they finally got him going in the vertical passing game, going down the field, and that's something that Harvin has completely embraced, because I don't think they really did that too much with him in Seattle, despite his game-breaking speed. He had over 100 yards receiving against the Chiefs. and then over 100 yards receiving against the Minnesota Vikings. Now you're starting to see more balance on offense from this team, and you have to be aware anytime he's on the football field. But mostly he's been on the Z off the line across from Decker, but again, they're still mixing him in. Once in a while, get a carry, and then you get him on some jet sweeps, and he's the primary kick return man.
Eric, what are you expecting today in terms of emotion and energy, both from the football team, the Jets, maybe rallying around Rex, but also from the crowd in the stands that I think some people think could get ugly or maybe even turn on the home squad? What do you think in those two areas today?
The fair points all the way around. I think Rex Ryan was completely honest about it, guys, this week, and you would expect nothing different from him. He said, hey, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. This would mean a little bit more than a normal game. He's open about that. He's open about his feelings. Calvin Pace in the locker room this week that the Patriots bring out the best in us. The Jets have actually played pretty decent ball over the past 3 weeks. They easily could have beat the Dolphins on a Monday night game here. They rushed for close to 300 yards. I thought they controlled large portions of that game up in Minnesota. They lost, and then they finally pulled out a victory last week in Tennessee. But you're right about the fan base is that, listen, there's a lot of people, and you guys have caught wind of this in New England and all over the country. A lot of people have expressed their frustration at John Idzik and, I believe, the lack of spending in free agency because they see it as a cap surplus. So could it get ugly in the stands? Yeah, if the Jets are out of this game in a hurry. I know you guys might think that this is going to be a big Patriots victory. I kind of think that the Jets are going to come out here with an inspired performance, and if they can get to the second half, then the fans will settle in. I mean, they got to get through this first quarter, no doubt about it. You fall behind the team 10 by 2 scores, 10-0 or 14-0. Yeah, it would be ugly, and I think there's going to be a lot of Patriots fans in the stands today, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there will be. Do the fans even want to win? I heard a little bit after the Tennessee win that they were sort of a little upset about that in terms of the draft status and all that, and I would imagine that a quarterback is got to be on the radar screen.
Yeah, it depends who you talk to. There's some people who say, hey, listen, that's my team. No matter when they play, whenever they play, I want them to win. But no doubt there's another faction of the fan base that, hey, listen, you're losing by winning. And, yes, they were disappointed by the victory last week against the Titans because they're looking at those guys that are expected to declare early for the draft, and Mariota and Winston, and saying, hey, we got to get in position to draft one of those guys. So, yeah, there are a lot of people who expressed their frustration after last week's game, kind of like, oh, now you're going to give us a win when we really don't need it. But the organization, obviously, the players in the locker room, they're coming out today, and they're treating this like a big rivalry game, and I kind of expect an inspired effort from the Jets today.
Eric, give us a score. What do you think?
Oh, man.
Putting you on the spot.
Christmas upset.
All right, let's here, I'm going to tell you this, guys. So the 27-25 was the first score in that first meeting at Gillette, so I'll take 27-21 today, but I'm not giving you a winner.
Oh, boo. You suck.
Boo. That's not very
fine. I'll take it.
That's not very Christmas-like.
Well, we're just going to say you took the Patriots and tell everybody.
Eric Allen of Jets.com. You can follow him on Twitter, eAllenJets. Eric, thanks for the time as always, and I don't foresee us speaking again this season, so we'll catch up with you next year, man.
Always a pleasure, guys. If you want to talk draft, hit me up in a couple months.
Yeah, you know what? We might do that for PFW in progress during the week, especially if Ryan ends up going. Maybe we'll touch base and see what things are like with the Jets, because Patriots fans are always concerned about the Jets.
Thanks, Eric.
You got it.
Take it easy. Eric Allen, Jets.com.
He's nice.
I would say he is of all the people we have, he's like the regular guy that we always have. He's our buddy down there in New York.
But he won't pick against the Jets.
You know what?
He doesn't do it. Can't do it.
You have sympathy for the situation he might be in.
I think the first time, I think he just described a game but never said
Never made a pick.
I think it might be a mandate. He may not be allowed to be
Oh, that
picks.
Could be.
Yeah.
That could be, because not everybody has it as lucky as we do. We That's can true. Sort of yeah. just give our opinions.
You can tell. I think he's
only be hated by football as opposed to the organization.
If he had picked the Patriots, Woody Johnson would have come down, taken his ball cap off his head while wearing his suit and beaten him with it.
Because Eric actually
threw it
gets
in the stands and someone caught it.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen his work on Jets.com, but he gets like one-on-ones with Rex Ryan after right. the game, one-on-ones with, you know, whoever the top player is. Like, he's right. very much embedded, very much a journalist covering that
very
team,
much unlike you know? Us.
Yeah, I mean, he's
we do a pregame.
He gets asked. He gets access.
Yeah,
we don't.
He's a much more serious.
Rex
reporter.
Probably likes him. You know, Bill is Bill.
He's very much in the situation down there. Let's take a timeout here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We'll continue with your phone calls and your emails on the show. We will also talk to Eric Scalavino coming up. All of that on the way on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Time to go inside the press box at MetLife Stadium, and we do that with Eric Scalavino, who joins us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eric, what's going on? What's the scene at MetLife Stadium?
So the scene is pretty empty, fella. This stadium is empty and kind of quiet. I think the fans here at Rutherford kind of feel the same way a lot of us do, that this game is kind of an afterthought.
What are you seeing early? I know warm-ups, some stuff starting to trickle out. Certainly Dan Conley out of action, as well as LeGarrette Blount, Kyle Arrington, Julian Edelman. You know, what are we seeing in terms of fill-in statuses?
Well, we'll start with, in the trenches there where you mentioned first. The guy, Josh Klein, who replaced Conley last week, was getting the reps in his spot in warm-ups. Freddie's guy, Jonas Gray, was lining up in backfield with your guy, Andy, James Devlin, in the split backfield with the shotgun Brady. So that's, I know, exciting for you.
Yes.
And defensively, not much different as far as the corners go. Because, I mean, you know, Arrington's usually in the sub packages anyway. But the interesting thing to note today, I think, is going to be Danny Amendola's performance, both as a wide receiver and as punt returner, because he's basically Julian Edelman's primary backup in both spots and is probably going to take on a huge role today in place of the concussed Edelman.
What are you, I mean, I know you mentioned the crowd, and it's funny because Jonathan Kraft on the 98.5 pregame show apparently also said, quote, it's kind of empty in this building. Hopefully someone's going to show up. Certainly a lack of energy are you feeling from the crowd and whatever is going on?
Absolutely, and even here in the press box, it's very, very quiet. We're just taking note of the fact that it feels like a library in here today. Very quiet, unusually so, especially for this place. This usually kind of loud and active at MetLife, the press box, but not today.
What?
And the skies are overcast. This feels like sort of like a cloudy, gloomy, I don't know. It's got a weird vibe today. I think something very weird is going to happen.
Oh, predicting something weird. Weird isn't good for the Patriots.
Yeah, such as?
Weird is bad for the Patriots.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, the butt fumble was weird. That was in this stadium a couple of years ago. You know, so there's something odd that's going to happen today. I'm not exactly sure, but I don't foresee any doom for the Patriots by any means today. But
oh, I do. The Island of Doom.
Well, okay. I see what you did there. I think
everybody always sees what he did. He still does it. Doesn't stop him.
Eric, anything change in your analysis of this game with the fact that last night we got three core players out, we add one with Dan Conley to the fourth, four key starters / rotational guys out of action? In any way, does that change your analysis of this football game?
Well, I don't think it'll change the outcome, no. But I think it will be interesting to see how some of those guys that we talked about, the fill-in guys, do perform, because especially in Edelman's case, because I think we've seen what Josh Klein can do in his spot starting role. He's done this a couple of times before. Not having Arrington is going to be a little bit different as far as sub packages go, but I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference what they do defensively. So the big one I'm really looking at here, and running back wise, I think we'll probably see a lot more Jones Gray, obviously. I was a little bit surprised that James White got the activation. I thought maybe he'd get a chance today, but it doesn't seem like he could do anything to get a chance this season. But so I'll look for maybe a little bit more from Gray today. And I'm curious to see what Danny Amendola does. But no, I don't think it changed the ultimate outcome. Maybe the score's a little bit closer than some people thought, but I still think they win by 10 to 14 points.
All right, Eric, anything else before we let you go?
I think that'll do it today, fellas.
All right, very good.
Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Merry Christmas.
You too. Safe travels.
Eric Scalavino joining us from the press box inside MetLife Stadium.
I say that every week.
What?
Not just because they have to bus back. I do. I say that every week to them. Safe travels.
Okay. Safe travels.
It's one of the few things I actually mean.
They're busing back from this game?
Yeah. Not the team.
Oh, they are.
Yes.
Support staff.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Some of the support staff.
They bust there, too.
Oh, kind of makes sense.
Yeah, not really. Something going on that I'm not really sure about. Oh. Really not at liberty to discuss.
All right, then. Let's read a few more emails. Steve writes in, tell Andy he has an amazing voice, and
thank
it
you,
turns
Steve.
Me on.
Oh.
Oh,
and
that was who?
Last Christmas.
Who was it? This is Steve in Pennsylvania.
Steve. Okay, good. Just want to get that.
And that's short for Stevana.
Steve writes, and Wham's Last Christmas is a great Christmas song.
After your first comment, there's no doubt I believe what you said there.
He also writes, in Patriots news, the team needs to get off to a fast start.
Yep.
I'd like to see a full four quarters of great play today. Brady goes for over 303 TDs. Looking for Amendola to fill Edelman's role with the assumption Brady will have pressure in his face all day and those quick throws over the middle will be good. Interested to see how the offensive line performs today, especially without Connolly.
Yep.
Happy holidays. Thanks for a great season, Steve in Pennsylvania.
Very interesting because, you know, one of the excuses given for the offensive line play and for the play of, say, Nate Solder was that, oh, you know, he wasn't comfortable with the guy next to him. Well, now he's got Josh Klein next to him, not Dan Connolly. Is that another excuse? And, oh, by the way, he's got Muhammad Wilkerson in front of him, an elite player. I don't like the part where Steve said Brady's going to have guys in his face all day. I don't care for that.
Yeah, and I'm not I think the Jets front seven is really strong. I don't think they're necessarily great pass rushers. I think that they can get pressure, but I don't think
sacks per pass.
Yeah, I don't think it's Muhammad Wilkerson, I think, is a really good player, but I don't think he is a, you know, like a J.J. Watt kind of pass rusher. He's that kind of player where he's a very balanced player. He plays the run and the pass, but he's not the kind of guy, I don't think, that's going to make Nate Stolder, well, shouldn't make anybody a turnstile.
No, not a turnstile. My concern would be that he uses him as a battering ram and picks up Nate Stolder and hits Brady with him.
Next email reads, hey guys, loving the show. Wanted to wish everyone a merry Wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. My all-time favorite Christmas movies, Adam Sandler's Eight Crazy Nights and The Christmas Shoes. Best of both worlds.
Oh, The Christmas Shoes is the one about the song. Like it's
I don't know
right?
that one. I'm not familiar.
Mama's dying and I can't afford these shoes, but I want her to look good when she sees Jesus tonight.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you just shoot me?
Yeah. I don't like those.
Pats get up early, 24-3 halftime lead. They will cruise to a 38-10 win. Thanks as always, guys. Cody in Nova Scotia.
I could see that kind of a game. Up early, cruise control, win by a lot.
We got a photo here from the official at Patriots account of on the sidelines at MetLife, Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and in the middle, John Bon Jovi.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Trump.
Oh, no, that's a possibility, too.
Yeah, Trump.
I would assume.
Would have been a good guess.
Kenny writes in, hey, guys, my thoughts on Christmas movies is, if you feel comfortable watching Christmas movies year-round, then it shouldn't qualify as a Christmas movie. And according to those terms, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
That's a fair point.
Go Pats and win out.
If you do feel comfortable watching those kinds of movies all year round, then Home Alone, Die Hard, those kinds of movies, you can watch them anytime.
Poll Center update. Poll Center, with Edelman and Blunt out today, who will have the bigger game, Danny Amendola or Jonas Gray?
Oh, should be 100% Danny Amendola.
Well, it is 26% Danny Amendola, 74% Jonas Gray.
I could make an argument for both on this because I think the game could get out of hand early. And if it does, I think they're going to just run and run out the clock in the second
half.
Poll
number two.
I think Jonas Gray.
If the game remains competitive for any length of time, then Amendola has the better game.
Which inactive player is the biggest loss for the Patriots today? Dan Connolly, Julian Edelman, LeGarrette Blount, or Kyle Arrington?
Specifically today, Edelman.
He gets 76% of the vote.
That's a good vote.
In general, I think Arrington is an underrated loss.
Arrington
today,
comes in third.
It will not bother them today because the Jets can't take advantage of that. But what I've been a little bit concerned about lately is teams seem to be figuring out, how do I find Logan Ryan? How do I find Malcolm Butler? They haven't been able to pick on Arrington when they found Arrington.
Right.
But today, they don't really have... You know, Geno Smith can't take advantage of that.
Julian Edelman tops the vote, 76%. Dan Connolly second with 18%. Kyle Arrington is third with 4%, and LeGarrette Blount comes in with 1% of the voting on the Patriots Facebook page.
Everybody hates Blount. It's unbelievable.
At facebook.com/New England Patriots. You think they hate him?
I think that the love affair with Jonas Gray, and therefore, if you love Jonas Gray, you have to hate Blount. I find it kind of curious.
Matt in Halifax, Nova Scotia, saying Patriots need to get off to a good start. The line needs to hold. Patriots win 37-14.
Yep.
Danny in Spain writes, hey, guys, I'm not as excited for today's game as everyone else. I don't think a lot of people are excited. I've been following the Pats since 2007, so I only hate one team from New York, and it's not the Jets. In fact, I feel sorry for them. They just suck. I would like to have Rex Ryan in New England if he can keep his ego to himself. Patriots 35, Jets 13. Thank you for the email, Danny. Before we get out of here, we need to wrap up on the phone lines, and we will do that with Ahmed in Pennsylvania. Hello.
Hello?
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. You excited?
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller. I emailed one time in the off-season. You guys have a great show. Andy, I love you the most. It's because you're the D-bag, man. I mean, you got to keep it up, honestly.
Okay, thank you. That's quite a
All right, what do you got on today's game?
All right, today's game, honestly, at first I was worried, but even with the injuries, but I'm going to go with a 41-16 easy win. I'm not going to say Jimmy G's going to come in because Brady hates that. I feel like Marine could have a good game, you know, if they incorporate him in the screen game, you know, because their pass rush is going to get to Brady. I know you don't like that, but, you know, they do have a good pass rush. The Dennard chemistry problem, I feel like he might just not, like, work well with Browner or one of the nickel corners, so they just take him out of the game. I don't know what the hell the problem is. They got to put him in there.
That is a legitimate thing we've talked about at times, that they don't feel like he's an inside corner, can play in the slot, not his strength. And we've talked about it. If one of the two main guys were hurt, would he be suddenly active and maybe go from being the fifth, sixth corner to suddenly he's the number two corner playing, you know, a big role? But, you know, hopefully we won't ever find that out, because hopefully Browner and Revis stay healthy.
Toso, turn your mic on. Bridgeport. Toso.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all.
All right. So you guys forgot the best movie, Jingle All the Way, with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't think I've seen it.
Never seen it?
Wait, isn't that the one where he's looking for, like, toys in the store? He's to, like, track
yeah,
down some toys?
He's looking for that one toy for his son.
Yes.
He's got Sinbad. Sinbad's in the movie, and he's a mailman. Like, he pretends like he has a bomb in.
Yes. I have seen
good
that
family
one.
Fun for
nothing
all.
Gets you in the holiday spirit like a bomb.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna for today's game just because I don't want to jinx the team. But yeah, Super Bowl, here we come. That's all I gotta say.
Word.
All right. I'm glad you don't want to jinx anything.
Super Bowl and bust, baby. Patriots and Katy Perry in the desert.
We'll be back in about 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah, something like that. Come back, do some post-game stuff. Patriots post-game show. La, la, la. Are we going to have more Christmas music in the post-game? You know we are.
Should.
You know we are.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, I'm with
absolutely.
You, Andy.
You
Andy,
don't think, first of all.
There were people trying to put us down on email.
Well, they're stupid. How many people you think will watch today's game while rapping, while baking cookies, while doing something that is also
right.
Christmassy?
Or being in a pre-Christmas family gathering.
A gathering.
A lot of those going
in the background. And some
people do those today.
What are those like?
What are they like?
Yeah.
They're brutal.
Oh,
usually miss those.
I'd love to experience one.
Me too. I'd love to go to one.
And apparently, based on
Paul, is your family doing something today?
It's been about 15 years.
Your family having a little gathering today?
No.
Oh.
Based on the attendance at the game, there's also a chance that people are skipping the game and doing shopping and whatever they need to do before Thursday.
Yeah. And evidently, they did the same thing in San Francisco last night, as you pointed out.
So when this one's over, Patriots-Jets, come right back here to Patriots.com. We'll be talking about this one.
Blowout.
In the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Join us then. Bye-bye.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots take on the New York Jets.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter, Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social.